Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Captain Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is...
It's me. Hi.
That's super
it's
fan.
Me.
Mark Muscady.
Yeah, hi.
I thought I'd put him on the spot.
No. Hi. Yeah, I mean... I could, you know, just join in right after Joe. I'm super fan Mark. Wait, by the way, I'm the other guy. Why am I super fan? It's been so long. I don't even remember why you guys started calling me super fan.
I don't
Does it
know.
Matter?
Oh, super fan. Super fan of Friday 13th.
Sure.
Yeah, you were we'll super fan that. Of Friday the 13th and our show. And then
yes.
I think Joe was trying wanted to call you a stupid fan, but I was like no, we should really call him super fan.
Super fan. Yeah.
Yeah,
special fan was kicked around too.
I am special.
Really special.
Yeah. I'm a unicorn, I'm telling you.
By the way, why are they called unicorns and not unihorns?
I don't know.
Oh.
They're not, it's not one corn, it's one horn.
True.
You're right. Why is it dumb?
I don't know. Didn't invent it.
Matt, we played Dungeons and Dragons back in the 80s. Why are they called unicorns?
I don't know. I just know they are.
That's baffling. I got to look that up after the show.
Roll your 20-sided die and let me know if you come up with an answer.
Yeah.
Oh, the 20-sided die was so cool.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I hated the triangle one, the four. Hated that one.
Why?
I don't know. It didn't roll well. It never rolled right.
Yeah, and that's true.
You can kind of fix it, too.
Nerd
I cheated
alert.
A little.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Joe to say that.
I was thinking it really
Raven.
Was.
Raven. Yeah. Ravenloft.
I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we just came out of Halloween, the holiday, not the movie,
the holiday season.
And the holiday season. How was your Halloween, Joe? How did it go? And Mark?
It was friggin' cold.
Oh, really?
Icy cold.
It snowed.
The hours leading up to trick or treat in the Quad Cities, we were hit with massive windstorms. Mm-hmm. And I was like mere minutes from home, and my son texted me a picture of the front lawn, the display. I had tombstones that were snapped in half that were in disarray and desperate need of repair. But luckily, we managed to get everything upright and put back together and, you know, Band-Aids on it, at least enough for nobody but me to notice, and just in time for the kids to start trick-or-treating at 5:30. And to all of those fellow Chicago haunt builders out there in the Chicago, greater Chicagoland area, my deepest condolences to your displays with the 2 inches of snow that you guys got. It was just terrible. So, and what sucked is we got like 120 kids maybe the whole night. Last year when it was nice out, we got like 400. Although we're pale in comparison to the fine folks over in Burbank, California.
Yeah.
That was nuts, that video.
Our Halloween, I don't know if you, I posted it on my Facebook.
I don't know if you're
Facebook.
Aware of it or not.
I don't know if you're aware of it, people, but I posted it on my Facebook, and there were like horses walking down the street. We bought four big bags of candy at Costco, like the big Costco bags. And we figure there's about 500 pieces of candy in each of those. And we cleaned it out. Like we ended, I think we gave away our last piece of candy at like 8:40. Trick-or-treating is supposed to end at 9. And we had to tell people, sorry, we don't have any more candy. We gave out 2,000 pieces of candy. So
were you doing handfuls or, you know, to the kids?
No, one at a time. One at a time. Yeah, you can't do handfuls here. You've got to do
one.
Yeah, you get a Smartie. and M&M. Yeah. We're opening up bags of M&Ms.
Get one M.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was crazy. We had a ton. It was fun, obviously. It was very discouraging, though, I got to say, because normally I dress up as Michael and I get a line of kids lining up to take pictures. Adults want to take pictures with me. Our house is like so popular. And this year I decided, to honor Never Hike Alone 2 and just for the change of pace, because we bought the Jason mask for the Oblong Box Shop commercial that we did. And so I thought, well, I'll be Jason this year. People know Jason. I know, like, people walked by like they didn't know who I was. I was called Jason a couple times by the end of the night, but I was called Freddie. I was called Michael.
What? Well, that's because there hasn't been a Friday 13th film since 2009. So,
but he's Jason's an iconic coming,
man.
He's an iconic thing. I can't, and nobody wanted to take pictures with me. I mean, it was really weird. I'm like, I had a pretty good, I was basically Jason, zombie Jason costume from part 6, and nothing.
Halloween is the scarier franchise.
It's not a scarier franchise. It's not even close.
No, I didn't say scarier.
Franchise.
I said
the
superior.
Kills aren't even good.
Superior.
It's not superior. It's not even close to a superior.
Ask all the people in Burbank.
Yeah, everybody in Burbank believes it is.
It sucks. Burbank sucks. I don't even know what you people do over there.
I do want to add this.
The mask got so hot that I eventually just had to take it off, and I was like, this isn't even worth it. I'm standing here doing nothing like an idiot. So I wound up just going over with Michelle and handing out candy. I took off the mask, and I was like, screw this. Next year, I'm Michael again.
That's bullshit.
What were you going to say, Joe?
I do want to say a very sincere thank you to my neighbors across the street. Like the day after we got everything taken down, they have my son's cell phone number because he's cut their grass a couple times. They texted him and asked him if he could come over and pick up something. So he walks over to their house, and then he comes back with a big plate of chocolate chip cookies. That was for us as a thank you for I'm quoting, the pizzazz we add to the neighborhood with the display.
Wow.
So they wanted to thank us for putting that up. So I thought that was really cool. So
that's nice.
That's great. Because, Joe, I don't know if you're aware or not, but the Slankers who have this just massive
display. Yeah.
It's awesome where it causes traffic jams. You could hardly drive down the street. One year, the cops had to come to say, hey, keep the cars moving because everybody's just like going to this place. And they have neighbors that are so pissed off about it. It's like, hey, man, it's Halloween. You see the joy in the kids' face. All the kids flock there. They give out whole candy bars, the big ones.
Yeah.
They get the big ones out, man. Yeah. And I went there today, and there were just hundreds of kids just all around. I should have took a picture of it. I did it. But I just enjoyed it, through my own eyes. I'm just going, wow.
I'm curious if their neighbors are just as mad when they turn their Halloween display into the gingerbread house for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, they get mad, too. Jesus. And they give out hot cocoa. They give out hot cocoa. Like, come on.
Ridiculous.
Somebody ought to run that family out of town on a rail. Those damn Slankers.
Yeah.
Look at them enjoying themselves and doing things on their own property.
Having fun.
Yeah.
I just drove by the Slankers' house today. He just was finishing up the whole entire thing. I mean, and he looked exhausted. And he's already getting this stuff out for Christmas. He's already doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
we have to.
Man. Yeah. It's just crazy.
All right. Well, let's move on to anything. Joe, did you watch anything new this last couple weeks?
Yeah, I did. you know, in the past 2 weeks, we've also had part of this was still Shocktober. So we still have some of those that qualify. I watched Vivarium.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I haven't seen.
I don't know
it,
that I would. Yeah. It was an interesting watch. I did kind of like it, but I would not classify that as a horror film per se. I don't know. It might be. It's about this couple that goes to try to find a house. They want to move out of their apartment, move in a house. And this guy takes them to this like beautiful suburban area where every house looks identical. And they're in, you know, house number 9, I think it was. And the guy that was showing them the house, he leaves without them knowing. And they're just stuck in this neighborhood where every house looks the same and every house is house number 9. And if they try to drive away from it, they just find themselves back at house number 9. They're just stuck there for eternity. But it's, I will say it, I would recommend it. It's, it was interesting enough. I just, if it's not, in my opinion, horror, it's horrific, but not horror. I watched Dark Harvest. God, I have no idea. Okay, but I can look it up.
I can look it up
while I'm vamping. I watched Dark Harvest to keep up with you guys, which I did enjoy. I do agree. It is like The Outsiders with a horror film attached to it. Five Nights at Freddy's, or I'm sorry, I'm supposed to refer to it as FNAF.
Yeah,
I guess. Five Nights at Freddy is not for me, but for the audience it is for, it is very effective and extremely awesome because all the people that I know that are half my age that have played the games and have seen the movie, they just go nuts over it.
Yeah.
They've explained really to me. Well. They've explained to me why they've gone so nuts. There's YouTubers who make cameo appearances in this film that I have no idea who they are, but to them it's awesome. And
tons of Easter eggs.
I can't put this film down just because it's not for me. Mm-hmm. It was done well, and for the audience that it was directed for, it was very good. I didn't hate it. But I just feel like had I known more about the background of this, I probably would have enjoyed it as much as they did. I don't really particularly care for having a prerequisite before watching a film, but I guess if you were fortunate enough to be, you know, all on board with the Five Nights at Freddy's train before this came out, this was just over the moon for you.
Yeah, I agree with that because when I watched it, it was just okay for me. I thought it was like well made. But some of the people I work with, that are younger than me, they're like, "God, Mark, did you see it? Did you see it?" I'm like, "Yeah, it was okay. It was, you know, it could be like a gateway for young kids." They're like, "What are you talking about?" And like, and they start bringing up the YouTubers. I have no idea who they are. It's like, man, I'm getting old. I'm getting freaking old. It's like, wait, it says over my head, man. It's just, so, I mean, yeah, go watch it. And if you're old like us, maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
I never
played the game. I never even played the game.
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was entertaining, not bad. Not, you know, I gave it three cuts.
Real middle of the road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't hate it. I thought it was too long. It was 2 hours 50 or an hour 50 minutes or something like that. It should have been a 90 minute movie, but I, you know, I wasn't bored. I did feel like it went on a bit long and they could have cut some of that stuff, especially some of the backstory stuff. I think could have been cut down a little bit. You know, we could have gotten a hint of the situation without it being that big of a deal, but I thought it was pretty well done. It was a good gateway horror. And definitely I have heard the same thing about people who played the game, and there were all these Easter eggs that I didn't know anything about. So I think that if you have that background with it, then it's an extension of the video game basically. So, and that's good. You know, and I've heard, I think, I don't remember if Aaron and Abe said this, but one of somebody on there, I thought, said it was one of the better video game movies they've seen.
It's better than Silent Hill.
Yeah. I mean, that's not saying a lot, but still, you know, I thought it was fine. It was fine. Well, yeah. what else, Joe?
It made me want to go to Chuck E. Cheese, but yes, Mark.
Yeah. Or Showbiz Pizza.
Yeah.
Where a kid can be a kid.
Yeah. Showbiz Pizza Place was awesome. Dragon Slayer, I remember playing for the first time there. Remember that plane that the little brother had when he got kidnapped?
Yeah.
He had a plane? I had the same exact plane. I was just like, that's the same exact plane that I had. It was awesome. I think it was a Weeble plane. You put a Weeble Wobble or not a Weeble Wobble, a Fisher-Price.
Fisher,
where it's got with the hole in it, mm-hmm. and you can put it in there. It's that. And I had it. And I want it. I want that. I got to go on eBay or something and find that because I love that fucking plane.
So, Joe, what else did you watch?
I watched The Elevator Game on Shudder, which is new for 2023. This is not for me, and I will not apologize for it. I just flat out didn't like it. It's a bunch of YouTubers that have their own channel, and they want to make some new content, and they hear this lore of if you go into this certain building and get on this certain elevator and you go to these certain floors on this certain sequence, that by the time you hit the fifth floor, this woman's going to be standing behind you trying to kill you. It's dumb.
That was on my list.
Skip it if you can. However, the last one that I watched, I rented this one on Prime, was Brightwood. Matt, did you ever get around to watching that?
I didn't, no.
Brightwood is weird. It's a great concept that I think was poorly done. It looks like it was shot on like a Sony Handycam.
Mm.
But it's about this couple that are fighting with each other. And they go on their morning jog anyway. And they decide to go towards this lake that they run around from time to time. And they get to the lake, they start running on the path, and they get to where they started, and there's no way out. Kind of like Vivarium. So there is no path out of the woods. All they can do is keep running around the lake, and they can't get out. And there are some other strange things that happen. It's not just a continuous loop. But it was interesting. I did enjoy it. The acting is very believable, especially on the wife's part. She really looked like she was mad at him from the party, apparently, that they had the night before. He screwed up something. And it, like I said, the only thing that bothered me, and it really kind of took me out, was just how poor the video quality is. But I've heard a lot of people saying that they really liked it, and I've been hearing this for quite some time. I was honestly just waiting for the rental price to go down. But I was intrigued. I did enjoy it. And it's worth a watch. But like I said, just bear in mind, it's not the best quality.
Yeah, I looked it up and it's gotten good reviews. I think it's, I can't remember now. I might be thinking of a different movie, but I feel like it's like an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Or maybe I looked at Letterboxd. I don't remember where, but I saw that it might have been Letterboxd because I put it on my watch list on Letterboxd, okay. And I noticed that there were a lot of high reviews on there. So,
but. And you're sure you weren't looking at Brightburn, Superman knockout?
I'm sure because
I haven't seen that film, Brightburn.
That wasn't bad.
I didn't care. I kind of dug it.
I heard a lot of good things about that film, and I have an opportunity to watch it. I never put it on.
I wish that had gotten a lot darker. And it really could have, but
yeah, it was just meh for me. I didn't care for it that much, but
damn.
Mark, what did you watch?
Well, I watched Perfect Blue. yeah, not for me. I did not like it. Yeah, I know, Joe, with a surprise face. I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I like anime. Akira is high up in one of my favorite films of all time. When I first saw Akira back in the 80s.
Never seen it.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
fuck, it, Joe.
It's, I think, I mean, you might want to hold off on your review because I forgot to tell you not to watch it because it's going to be in my next pick.
Oh, fuck, I got to watch it again.
What, Akira?
No, you just watched it. No, Perfect Blue. You just watched it, so you don't have to watch it again. So you only have to watch four when I pick. But yeah, don't talk too much about it. I mean, because you're going to have to talk about it again.
Okay.
In depth.
Fucking great
detail. You should watch it twice.
Did like the animation, though. I thought it was pretty good quality with the animation. So I'll go with that. So yeah, leaving Perfect Blue. I saw Flight 7500.
That's going to be on my next pick.
Yeah, no, it's not. No, it's not, because it's horrible. It's a fucking. I feel like it's a fucking Flight 7500. It's on Freevee, and I saw the trailer, and it looked like a. I went in going, okay, I'll press play. I got halfway through the movie and I turned it off. I was like, fuck that movie. It's horrible. It had like a decent like cast in it. They had Suki's brother from True Blood in it. And Turtle from Entourage was in it. And I was just like, oh, yeah, maybe it's going to be okay. No, I turned it off halfway through. Don't bother watching it. It's an absolute nightmare. I got in the mood with Trapped Movies watching Joe's picks, and so I decided to watch Cube again. And I love this movie. It still holds up. The budget they had, the smart dialogue. It's just such a simple concept, and how they deliver this film is amazing. And I wish Joe kind of picked this film, but he did pick really good five films. So, I mean, you only got five films to pick. But, man, if you haven't seen Cube, and if you enjoyed these trap movies that Joe has picked as a topic, definitely watch Cube. Fantastic.
It was one I considered, Mark.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
And then I watched one last film. It's Hell House, the Carmichael Manor. Matt also watched it. I'll let him introduce the film, and I'll chime in on that one.
Okay. Before I get to my movies, I want to do a little Mark rundown. Let's see. So in the last 2 weeks, you have not watched Husera the Bone Woman?
No, I haven't seen Bone Woman.
Influencer?
No, I haven't seen Influencer.
Totally Killer?
Oh, I did see Totally Killer.
Oh, good. All right, good.
I did.
To mark these down.
I liked it. The Back to the Future one. Yeah.
You like that?
The horror comedy. Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Did you see what?
No. Go ahead.
Did you see The Harbinger?
No.
You did see Cobweb, because that was my pick last time. Attachment?
Mm-hmm. No.
Infinity Pool?
No.
No One Will Save You?
No.
Or Venus?
No.
Your December is going to be a full month. I'm telling you.
It's going
to
be
coming big. Down to the last month and a half now.
I am worried.
I have 30 movies for this year already.
I have 36.
These guys are fucking nuts.
Well, it's because we don't watch the same movies over and over, or if we do, it's just on our own time.
I want to make a comment about that. So I saw this guy make a comment who's a film critic on YouTube. Mm-hmm. On TikTok. And I kind of agree with this statement. I get a lot more out of watching one movie 30 times than I do watching 30 movies once.
Yes.
So there is something to be said for rewatching films.
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
It's however, not Maverick. I don't watch Maverick all the fucking time.
When I really like something, it's based on how likely I am to rewatch it. But then again, I also seem to find time to watch other stuff too.
Right. I mean, like if I have, if there are a bunch of new movies, especially ones that have been talked about over and over that that you say I need to watch, I don't watch Christmas Bloody Christmas again before I watch that one, right? Which Christmas Bloody Christmas, I think last Christmas I watched it like 5 or 6 times over Christmas break. And the other day I pulled it out and started watching the first 30 minutes and I'm like, no, it's not Christmas yet. I have an unhealthy fascination with that movie. I absolutely love that movie. But
I, hand to God, have watched Evil Dead Rise 8 times so far this year.
Holy shit, why? Joe.
I've still managed, I'll just like clean the house and put that on in the background.
Yeah.
I still count that, but I still find time to watch 29 other films this year. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So I get enough of this tomfoolery. I don't know if I talked, did I talk last time about, the Fall of the House of Usher?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then I did watch, another Killer Kids movie. If anybody is going to do another Killer Kids one, it might be worth, putting it on your list. It's called Goodnight Mommy, and this is a German film, and it is thoroughly unpleasant. It's about in the heat of the summer lays a lonesome house in the countryside where 9-year-old twin brothers await their mother's return. She comes back. She had some kind of cosmetic surgery. So these kids are waiting for her to come home. Somebody's been watching them, and the mom comes home and her whole face is wrapped up. And they become convinced that their mother that she's not their real mom. And they can't stop perseverating over this idea that it's not their real mom. And so they start doing things to her to make her admit that she's not their mom. And it is very unpleasant movie. It's extremely mean-spirited. If you're into that kind of thing, it'll be your jam. I'm not into that completely nihilistic kind of thing, but this was pretty well done, and it was definitely harrowing at times. There were some things that I was like, oh God. And the ending I thought was a very good ending, but it is very mean-spirited. So if you're into that, you might want to check it out.
And is that 2023?
It's from 2014. That was one of my.
I won't watch it then.
It was one. It was
I only
one of my
new films.
Yeah, I only watched new films. It was one of my Shocktober picks, I believe.
What was it on?
It was on.
Where could Tubi. I find that movie, Matt?
You could find on Tubi or Pluto or Freevee.
Pluto?
Or actually Hoopla, which is the one, there's two sites that you can use your library card on. Hoopla is one, and
Canopy's
the other. I think I watched this one on Tubi maybe, but.
What the fuck is Canopy?
Shut up.
Good God.
What is it?
Yeah, right.
What is it?
Let's see.
Oh, Canopy. That's the library card.
Are you being serious?
Yes, the library.
It's a library card.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I saw it on TikTok.
Enough of your tomfoolery. Oh, wait. No, wait a minute. I got that mixed up.
It's Mark and, sorry,
I know. Mark's got me all messed up here. What else did I? Oh, for Shocktober, The Puppet Man. This one's not too bad. This is about a guy who goes to prison for killing his wife. And his daughter, you know, there's some question about what actually happened. And his daughter, she is living with relatives. And suddenly, like, these murders start happening. Or maybe she's in college. And these murders start happening that are very similar to what her dad did. And so it's I don't want to say too much because there's a lot under this, and so I don't want to say too much, but it was good. I really like that one. It's called The Puppet Man, and that one you can find on Shudder.
Oh, speaking of puppets, did you see Angelica's post on Cinescare fan page, or maybe she messaged me? It was a new Puppet Master movie, and it actually looks decent. And I think it's a fan film. And the special effects and the acting looks actually decent.
No.
That was like super surprise, and no Corey Feldman. The man who shall not be named. Sorry.
I did watch I finally watched Over the Garden Wall, which is a series. It's on Hulu, and it is this is fantastic. I had always heard that it was good. I had friends who kept telling me, you got to watch this. It's an animated show. Every episode is only about 12 minutes long. If Joe at Joe's party, one of our friends, his whole family dressed up as characters from this show. It is fantastic. I give it 5.5 stars. It is like a classic. I probably pull this out every Halloween. So this is just terrific. And it's set in a very Halloween or autumn kind of look.
You give it 5.5 out of 10?
I gave it 4.5 stars out of 5. Did I say 5.5?
You said 5.5.
Yeah. Oh, no. I gave it 4.5 stars, which
I'm like, that's not high praise.
No, 4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5. That's high praise.
Yeah. Also watched It Lives Inside, which is interesting. The story is really interesting. It's about this Indian American family. And this girl is really struggling with her fitting in, and she wants to fit in with everybody there, and her mom and her family wants her to remember her Indian culture. And there's this kind of an Indian creature, demonic sort of entity involved in this. And it's good. It's not great though. And I wished it had been better, but definitely check it out. It might be one that other people like more than I do. And I know that there've been good reviews and up and down or whatever, but you might want to check it out. There are some pretty, I thought, some effective moments, and it was a really cool concept. Again, Hell House Origins. Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that. So Hell House Origins is the fourth movie in the Hell House LLC universe, I guess. And this one was pretty good. There's some really creepy moments in it. It looks great. It looks way better than the first three. And I thought, for found footage at this point in the fourth episode or fourth movie in a series, I thought it was pretty good. There were some creepy moments. Those clowns were back. And I thought a couple of the ending scenes were really intense. I don't think it was perfect. I gave it 3 stars. I thought it was very entertaining. Or no, I gave it 3.5 stars. I thought it was very entertaining. Well worth checking out. So, and that one is on Shudder. And I think it's on, let's see, AMC Plus or Shudder. So
it's on Shudder.
Yeah. Hell House LLC Origins, The Carmichael Manor. Definitely check this out. I thought there were some really like creepy, creepy things in it. Just weird stuff in the backgrounds. It definitely is in my wheelhouse of creepiness. Mark, what did you think?
Yeah. Well, I love the part where they had the red ball rolling out, just kind of like the changeling, kind of like a little, honor to the changeling.
Yeah.
I think this is the best one out of all of them.
Joe? It might be. Yeah.
I think so. I really
liked the first one a lot, and it surprised me because I didn't know much about it. And we watched it one night and Michelle and I really enjoyed it and got creeped out by it. But this one, I think, was up there, yeah.
Yeah, I love the brother who said, hey, I'm not a sloth. And they all start laughing. He's going, no, a sleuth. I totally related with that guy mispronouncing words.
Yeah.
And then when the brother's in the bedroom and he turns on the camera, he's going, someone just opened my door. And then he turns on a light and something happens. And it gave me a jolt. It gave me like a genuine jolt. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
And then he turned away. I'm like, look back. And then it's something's looking at him. And then it proceeds into a hallway. And I'm just, I was getting just giddy. I was just like, oh man.
I think that the guy who makes these movies, he's the director, is Stephen Cognetti. And I think Correct. He's really mastered the idea of showing you something and then having the camera go away from it and then showing it again and something's moved. He's really mastered that. And I thought it was fantastic. It does, I think, have a lot of the same problems that many found footage films have, where certain conversations. Just I don't understand why the camera's on.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Why the camera's on during this conversation. But
and you always hear.
It's not as bad as a lot of them, you know. But still.
And with the found footage films, it's like, stop putting in that line. It's like, why are you filming me like right now? It's like, stop. It's mm-hmm. like, stop that shit. I don't
right.
like we're already aware of that. This is a movie and it's a found footage. You don't have to explain to us all the time. It's go, why, you know, the character's saying, why are you filming right now? Mm-hmm. You know, I have to. It started all the way since Blair Witch Project. Just stop. Just make the character somehow aware that these cameras are going to keep rolling. And they do in this film. But when shit hits the fan, he's going, why are you filming this? Well, you know, we have to document it.
Establish it once and leave it alone.
Right. Yeah.
Leave it alone.
But yeah, there are some conversations that just – they didn't need to happen on camera, and mm-hmm. it didn't make sense why the camera was on while they're having them. But
yeah,
that's just one of those tropes of found footage that sometimes they do it better than in some movies than others. And then I, of course, as always, wrapped up my Shocktober watching Halloween on Halloween after the trick or treaters were done, turned out the lights, went inside, popped some popcorn, and watched Halloween. As did you. Excellent. And the only other thing I watched was Haunting in Venice. We watched that this weekend. It's for rent now. Or no, actually it's on Hulu now. Yeah. And so we watched it on Hulu. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Not great, but I thought it was entertaining. It was a good mystery, and I love the look of it. The camera work, everything was really solid. I liked it. You watched that, Mark, right? Did you see it, Joe?
I haven't, but it's on my list because I got a thing for Tina Fey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. I wouldn't say it's horror, but it pushes into the horror realm, certainly. And mystery, those mysteries kind of, you know.
It's Agatha Christie. I'm not expecting gore.
Right, yeah. No. But it definitely, you know, there's some spookiness to it, you know, in a mild sense, I guess.
Oh, but like Death Trap. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Fuckers. Wait, Joe, you did watch
Mark?
Yes. When Evil Lurks.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, you didn't talk about it.
You didn't talk about it.
I watched When Evil Lurks. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit.
You said you watched it twice.
Yeah. It was really good.
That's it? That's all you got?
I'm surprised you didn't talk about it.
I thought you guys talked about it the last episode, and I'm just piling on. But yeah.
You don't matter? Like, what the fuck?
I just figured everybody already heard that this is like one of the best movies this year. It's extremely brutal. It's difficult to watch. It's very gory. I wish it was in English, but anyway.
No, I don't.
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It's certainly in my top 10 so far.
Nice.
I don't know how far, but it's definitely up there. It's
number one for me right now.
It's so, it does a fantastic job of combining possessions and gore for me because that's usually the one thing that I find that is missing out of possession films is gore. So I would put this in the same bucket as like Evil Dead Rise, which, you know, I've seen a handful more times of that, but it was right up my alley. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, you should. It's on Shudder, for God's sakes, isn't it? Was it Shudder?
Yeah, it's on Shudder. Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's
tremendous, tremendous film.
I give it 4.5 stars.
Yeah, I'll give it 4.75.
You guys keep saying stars, it's cuts.
Whatever.
Super fan, just chiming in. Hey,
so, wow. This week,
hey, hi.
This week, our episode is Joe Janz's pick. And so, Joe, tell us your pick and lead us through it.
In the immortal words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap. And that's why I picked this.
It's a trap.
I wanted to find movie. Well, this started back in, I think, what, 2022 when I saw Fall.
By the way,
and that was
part of a bumper there.
No.
Oh, okay.
Marks, it's a trap.
Yeah.
I'm just going to.
When I saw Fall and those girls were stuck up on that tower, that's what sort of got me thinking about this. And like, there's got to be movies where like people are trapped in these different situations that they can't get out of, most of which are like one scene thing. So anyway, we're enough beating around the bush. We're just going to get right to it. The first movie we're going to discuss is 2010's Frozen, not the Disney film. But this is three skiers are stranded on a chairlift and are forced to make life or death choices, which prove to be more perilous than staying put. They try to get on the last ski run for the weekend, and they get on the chairlift. And while they're up there, they're sort of forgotten about, and they close down the mountain, basically, with these three kids left on a ski lift about 50 feet above the ground. And there's no cell phone coverage. They can't yell for anybody because nobody's around. And they're just flat out stuck up there. And so that's part of why I like this group of films is I often think, what would I do in that situation? Most of the time, it's pretty much in line with what I see on the screen. Sometimes not so much. So Matt, have you seen this one before?
No, this is my first time.
Okay, great. Then we're going to start off with you. Go ahead.
Love it.
Start off with me.
Love that Matt's going.
Oh, yes.
I love that Matt's going first.
Oh, okay. I didn't like this one. I didn't believe any of it.
Thanks, Matt. Come on. You didn't believe?
I didn't believe any of it. Are you going to let me talk? I didn't believe any of it.
I'm muting myself.
I thought that parts of this were unintentionally funny. I thought that they left their faces exposed the entire movie. They weren't zipping up. The guy didn't even pull his hoodie up. He had his hood. He could have pulled it over. He didn't. He had it hanging back. I spent so much of this movie not even believing these people were freezing. She leaves her hand out. There's no way you leave your hand out on the rail. The wolf scenes were ridiculous.
Do you want me to save my addresses to the end, or do you want me to hit them one at a time?
Just wait until the end. Yeah. Okay. In a one setting situation, the dialogue has to be better than this. I didn't believe any of this dialogue. I thought the acting was terrible. And like I said, it was like Michelle and I were like laughing at parts of this. I just don't believe the packs of wolves hanging out at a ski resort. I just don't believe that. I don't believe they're cold. They didn't look like they were cold. The makeup was doing all of the work. I thought this was a silly movie. And I thought it was a very typical backstory. The only thing that didn't happen was that, you know, I was expecting that at some point it was going to turn out that she and the other guy, the guy's best friend, actually made out at some point or something. But that didn't come up. I did question why there was thunder in a snowstorm, but I did look it up and I guess it can happen, but I thought yes, that was can. Kind of, I don't know. Somebody said, baby, was that you? And I put, ha ha ha. There was a line where somebody said, baby, was that you? and I laughed. When this one was over, Michelle goes, meh. And I was like, I agree. This one just wasn't for me. I didn't care for it. It was very much like Fall, except I didn't find any tension in this movie at all. Whereas Fall, the biggest thing it has going for it is that it's incredibly intense and very uncomfortable but the tension is so thick. It's like your palms.
Anxiety ridden.
Yeah. And your palms are sweating in Fall. I didn't feel Mom's anything spaghetti. In this movie other than I hope it ends soon. So this one, you know, I know you guys loved it. So good. I'm glad for you guys. I'm glad that this brightened your day, Mark, that you got to that you enjoyed watching this so much, but it wasn't for me.
No. I'm going to keep Mark on mute for a few minutes. some of these things after rewatching it, because I think I've seen this 3 or 4 times, I will admit I could have done without the learning to snowboard montage at the beginning. Excuse me, with a girlfriend. I flat out don't need it. And most of their backstory of their relationship, I could care less about. Which is why I liked some of these other movies better, because I don't need a backstory for a movie like this in this situation. Throw me in the middle of it and let me see how horrible it is and how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I did, when I was talking earlier about what I would do in that situation, I don't know if this would do any good, but it was a note that I wrote down. I've seen guys jump out of helicopters with skis on, or jump out of helicopters with snowboards on. And they obviously are going down a mountainside. So mm-hmm. I was wondering, why did he take his snowboard off when he jumped off the chairlift?
And why try not keep landing it on his feet?
Yeah. Well, he does land on his feet, but he lands flat, and that's what snaps both of his legs. But
right.
There has to be some sort of slope underneath him that he could have
right. exactly.
gotten that to absorb, but Mark's yeah. miming Mark, otherwise.
Nope, so. It was flat there.
Yep.
Apparently.
I will say that one of my notes is, I don't care how many times I see this, I still get anxious, and that this film is just simply hard to watch. I do enjoy her, well, what you said earlier about the special effects makeup doing all of the work. I will agree. The hoodie thing, and I kept thinking, why aren't they like pulling stuff over their faces? I will agree with all those things. I can't deny that. But her having her hand on the rail, to me, made sense because she was sleeping. She woke up the next morning. So I could see having that sense of security by holding onto the guardrail so she doesn't fall out while she's asleep.
Yeah, I don't so know. I would think that somebody would just have them.
That part.
But, you know, that was one minor nitpick of.
And I will agree, too, that what are all these wolves doing at a ski resort?
Right.
I would have thought they would have been scared off long ago. Although I do want to point out Kane Hodder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes a little cameo appearance driving a snowcat. So
yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that. But anyway, I still enjoyed it. But anyway, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, I've been skiing since I was 4 years old. Going on these ski lifts all my life with my parents, and then with my with my brother until I was 13 and I graduated to ski on my own, and I had finally been able to ski the mountain by myself. And so, yeah, I get to go where I want, choose, you know, what course I take. It was total freedom until I had to meet up for lunch at the lodge. Going up on the ski lift on my own when I was 13 is scary. It's a little scary when you first do it for the first time, the second time, third time. When you go up, those cables, it's just one cable. Now, I've done research and whatnot on YouTube. Those cables will not break. They test these cables. They stretch them. It's like tons and tons and tons of pressures. That cable's not going to break. So I'm over that cable breaking. Now, the ski lift is hooked on to this cable. It's not that, how can I say, believable that your ski lift can fall off. So when you're sometimes hundreds of feet up in the air, you get a little nervous because you keep on looking up, especially when you go over the rollers and you hear it just clinking and, you know, clacking. You think, is this the time where, you know, your ski lift is going to fall? So it's really nerve-wracking. So when this film came out and I saw it, and I just saw the VHS cover and I saw it, and I'm just going, oh my God, it's like I need to see this. And when I watched it, this movie blew me away. Yes, there are wolves on mountains. Yes, there are in Colorado, there are wolves warning hazards. So yes, there are wolves out on this mountain. So yes, it is plausible that wolves are out there. Okay. And when they're making noises and when they're talking.
I'm not arguing that they're not in the mountains. I just don't think they hang around a ski resort, like where people are skiing all day long. Like,
Do you have any idea how big a ski resort is? A ski resort, if you're in Colorado, this ski resort is miles upon miles upon miles. You see deer sometimes in Colorado.
This ski slope is not miles and miles and miles, and they're not in the wild. The trees are cut down where this runs are.
Do you ski?
No, but I live around mountains, and I've been around ski resorts a lot. I've skied a couple times. I go to Tahoe every single year, Mark. I've been around ski resorts, and they're not miles and miles and miles. They're acres, maybe, and the trees are cut down. Wolves are not hanging around. Now, maybe bears, but...
Yes, there's actual video of bears. There's a video of this a girl snowboarding going down, and a bear's chasing her, and she had no idea that was happening.
I would have believed bears.
Okay, bears, but not wolves?
No, wolves don't hang around people that much. Bears do. Bears are like coyotes. They have adapted to people.
It's at night.
They don't hang out in the area. They don't hang out in an area like that. Not that big of a pack.
To bees be?
It wasn't that big of a pack, man. It was like four or five or six of them.
Yeah. They're not going to be hanging around a ski resort. But they're not going to find, you know, that they're not going to find that many animals around there, for one thing. And there's just too many people in lights.
And this is the guy that believes in ghosts, but he doesn't believe in wolves on a mountain. It's absolutely crazy. But here we go.
What an even comparison.
Yeah, that's such an even comparison.
It is. But I love this film. Yes, when he jumps off, no, he's not going to have his snowboard on his feet. Now, when you ski, yes, there is an incline, but it's not as what you think. When people jump off of helicopters and jumping off, you know, I mean, we're talking like an incline of like crazy with powder. This is groomed snow. This is packed snow. And how he jumped, and he might have panicked. I don't know why, but he jumped wrong and he landed on his feet. It would have been better if he just launched off and just went flat out, you know, and knocked himself out. But he would have been killed by the wolves regardless. But that was a horrific scene. And just him, you know, just being down there is going, don't look at me, don't look at me, when the wolves, like, you know, ate them. And the wolves did not eat them, like, right away. Didn't, you know, just rush in there. You know, they took their time. They saw the scenario, and then they went in. But, yeah, I think it's a great film. I mean, it's not great. It's not great, but for the premise and for just such a low budget. It's popcorn film. Exactly.
It's entertaining.
Joe. Yeah.
I think Fall is a popcorn film and entertaining. I didn't find anything about this believable or entertaining at all. In fact, I was ready for it to end.
The one problem I had with it is that when they got through the day or the night.
Yeah, we got to start moving along.
Okay, I'm sorry, but when they got through the day,
you did go on for like five minutes about skiing.
Did not go through 5 minutes. Excuse me, I did not. What he should have done was that night. Joe, stop pointing at the watch. He should have done what he did on the third day. That's what he should have done.
You heard it here first. That's what he should have done.
He should have done what he did on the third day.
On the third day.
There's no way I went 5 minutes on this. There's no way I went 5 minutes on this.
No, at least more than that. You went 5 minutes on just your kid experience. Go ahead, Joe. What's our next one, Joe?
Our next film, we're going to move right on down from 2010 to 2010, and we're going to tackle the Ryan Reynolds soon-to-be classic, Buried. So this is Paul, who is a U.S. truck driver working in Iraq. After an attack by a group of Iraqis, he wakes up and he's buried alive inside of a coffin with only a lighter, a cell phone, and it's a race against time to escape this claustrophobic death trap. So, Matt, have you seen this one before? You haven't seen this one either.
No.
Okay, we're going to go again with you first.
Yeah, I thought this was definitely a step up. I thought it was a terrifying setup, being buried alive, that claustrophobia. I thought it was, and I think it makes a big difference when you have really good actors involved too. And this wouldn't have worked if, you know, one of those guys from Frozen was in it. But Ryan Reynolds is great. I believed that he was claustrophobic. I believed that he was sweating. That does a lot when you can believe that the people are in the situation they're in. It almost tipped me over the edge though, when that snake got in there, because I really was like, how the hell did a snake get in there? That one I did find. And then I did say, this is what happens when you make a single setting in a movie. You don't know how to fill the time. You end up with snakes or a fucking wolf pack. But it went on, but I liked how it went on from there. They got rid of the snake and, it didn't bother me too much, but I liked how it ended too. Like, I don't know if we're spoiling this movie, but I thought that the ending,
it's 13 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fine.
I mean, I liked that it wasn't a happy ending. I thought, you know, that was a pretty good, trick. Overall, yeah, well, this is entertaining.
It kind of was a happy ending, just not for Paul. I mean, they found Mark White.
Yeah. Yeah, they found the character we haven't spent the last 90 minutes with. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind that so much. And I thought, you know, I thought the whole thing with the cell phone, that was a solution to stuff. I didn't quite understand why the guy would leave a cell phone that you could call other people on. I thought, you know, why didn't he give him a cell phone that he could only call one number on or something like that, but, or whatever, if there was a way to do that. But I wasn't quite sure why he would be okay with him just calling lots of people, you know, but it did open things up to have other conversations. And when you're in this is literally a one setting situation. There was no other scene anywhere outside of, not flashbacks, I don't think, right? There were no flashbacks, were there?
No.
There was nothing outside this coffin. So I thought that was, you know, I thought it was effective. And really, it was effective because it's just a great performance by him. You know, without that, then this wouldn't be anything like what it is. So, overall, yeah, I liked it. I definitely, yeah, I give it 3.5 cuts. I thought it was pretty good.
Mark, what'd you think?
Doesn't fire take up oxygen?
Yes.
So, with that lighter in that coffin, he should have been dead a lot sooner, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But I understand. But what I did like about this film, I do like this film. I do like how they had different lights and different color palettes, because, I mean, this film is in a coffin. And so they had different lights to kind of change to make it a little bit more fresh. So you have the Zippo for yellow. You have blue for the cell phone. You have green from the glow stick and white from the flashlight. And it changed it up. It wasn't I guess what I'm saying is that it stimulated your mind. It just wasn't just one, you know, light to like bore you or whatnot. You know, it changed it up a little bit. I think the snake is absolutely ridiculous. You don't need a scene of action in this film. We're already tense. We're already, you know, feeling the claustrophobic feelings. Mm-hmm. We didn't need a snake in that. Other than that, I do love that he dies at the end. Fuck spoilers. Yeah, he dies at the end. And it's great. I love it. I think this
movie.
We
don't know that.
No, he's dead.
Well, you assume that. You don't
see
it.
But yeah.
He's dead. He's dead. I mean, he's got sand going down. I mean, he was just like up to his lips at the top of the coffin. I mean, there's no way he's going to survive that. He's dead. And I like that because if he was saved.
Joe doesn't believe it until he sees the death certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, if he was saved at the end, I think I would have been pissed off, you know, about the ending.
It would have been a much worse movie.
It would have. It would have. Yeah. 100%. So, yeah.
Especially if he had been saved like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just by them finding him, you know, that would have, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
actually,
and then,
that would have been a different movie. That would have been more of a military movie, like the Navy SEALs.
Right.
The film wouldn't have been inside the coffin. It would have been up on the ground trying to locate him.
Or there would have been a split. Yeah. Yeah. Right. They would have shown the people trying to find him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And seriously, if the ending of this movie, you know, is him, you know, getting out of the coffin and they have, you know, the sirens going around, you know, and he's just like, I made it. It would have ruined the movie. I think the ending of him dying at the end makes it more impactful. So, yeah, no, I remember watching this film and I enjoyed it.
The only way I would have been okay with him living is if the film continued where he gets on a plane and he flies back to the States and he goes to CRT and he finds that personnel director that canceled his insurance that morning and beats the living shit out of him.
That would have been
the only way I would have been happy with him living. Oh, that was so frustrating.
That was frustrating.
I have a note on here that if I was buried in a box and the only way that I could escape would be to make a phone call to either cancel my cable service, get information to pay off a student loan, or now apparently book a freaking flight to Cancun. If that's what I had to do to get out, I would die. Because it's just freaking impossible. So just take the cell phone, snap it in half, throw it away. I don't care. Matt, I'm like you. I have a note. This is where the hell did that snake come from? I did think it was odd that his captors obviously took his wallet and emptied it out, but then gave him the wallet back.
Yeah.
Who puts the wallet back in the guy's pants? Just take the whole thing.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah,
because he went looking through his wallet for that number that he's supposed to call in case of an emergency.
Oh.
And the wallet was just empty.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, why would they give him back his wallet?
Yeah,
that's just weird. Yeah, and then I said, wait a minute, they unearthed Mark White. Mark White was the only guy that survived this, according to the guy on the phone. But anyway, I really enjoyed that movie. I know it's, I'm probably going to get yelled at for announcing this, but even according to IMDb, it is not a horror film. Although, in my opinion, it should be because it's just terrifying.
Yeah.
So
claustrophobia.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have that fear. So, I mean, I guess if I'm in a coffin, I'm not gonna. Well, I guess I would.
I will say, if me, Joe Jans, was stuck in that coffin, I would be 10 times worse because Ryan Reynolds is a small, petite gentleman who apparently can roll around from side to side. It's like it was like a small condo apartment for him.
Fuck
me,
Joe.
I'm like, I couldn't even move my arms, let alone try to kill the snake at my feet. Forget it.
Yeah,
so, I think I would have been able to maneuver like Reynolds and if I was in that
Mark would
situation.
Have passed through the slats of the thing.
Yeah, he would have just followed the tail of the snake. Yeah, followed him right out.
Yep.
So
yeah, I kept on thinking of Kill Bill, like, you know, the punch and all that. It's like, man,
one inch
do
punch,
the punch,
yeah.
The one inch punch.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move more recently to Fall from 2022. When a high-rise climb goes wrong, best friend Becky and Hunter find themselves stuck at the top of a 2,000-foot TV tower. Now, I saw this movie in the theaters when it came out last year, and I believe my asshole is still puckered from just how terrifying of a film this is. And I want to start off with one comment. This movie starts off, and this isn't a spoiler, where Becky and Hunter are climbing, like free climbing along some cliff with Becky's boyfriend, who we find out in the first 5 minutes of the film falls to his death. What I can't get over is in that situation, Becky's still got to climb. Her day cannot be done. She can't just like collapse and just say, oh, I'm just going to sit here and cry for a while. She still has like hundreds of feet to climb up, either up or down before she can even start processing the fact that her boyfriend just plummeted to his death. So, Mark, you've seen all these movies, haven't you?
Yeah.
That we're going over. Okay. And Matt?
I've seen all the rest of these now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, Mark, we're going to let you go first.
Okay. So, I love this film. Now, Joe, did I see this film before you? Did I recommend this film to you, or did you recommend this film to me?
I recommended it to you because I believe I saw it the day it came out.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I saw this in the movie theater, and I had a wonderful reaction with the people that were in the theater. Yeah, it's great. The beginning of Fall is exactly like the beginning of the 2000s film Vertical Limit, though. This is the only problem I have with this film. Have you guys seen Vertical Limit with Chris O'Donnell and Bill Paxton? Okay. The beginning.
No.
Okay.
For our listeners at home, no, I have not.
Okay. So the beginning of Vertical Limit is much more tense, much more dramatic, and well better acted than the beginning of Fall. With that being said, Vertical Limit just goes into a shit ton of horrible acting, Jerry Bruckheimer shit, and the rest of the movie is horrible. But the beginning of this film is amazing, and it's rock climbing. It is basically the same scenario. What's up, Joe?
I have seen Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone.
Wait, that's a good one too. Cliffhanger. Yeah. That one's even more intense, I think, than in Fall.
I watched
in my
that
opinion.
With you, Joe. We rented it from Blockbuster with, I think,
it's
you
brutal.
And I think Dave Bondi and some of our friends from college. We watched it down in that little house down in the village of East Davenport.
Yeah, but, yeah. Michael Rooker, don't you let her go. Oh, man, it's brutal. But Vertical Limit.
John Lithgow.
Yeah, John Lithgow's in it. Yeah, he's the main villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vertical Limit. Just watch, go on YouTube, watch the beginning of Vertical Limit, and you're going to go, holy shit. There's some consequences. But here's what's great about Fall. It just keeps going up and just ramps up the tension nonstop. And I don't have a fear of heights. But this was the third time I've watched this film and my hands are getting sweaty. It's just beautifully shot. There are some like wonky, special effects that you kind of see and like, but you let it go.
Like what?
It's just like from the top to the bottom. You can see like the, what do you call it? The outline of the actors on a green screen. You can see it just a tiny bit. You can see it a tiny bit.
I didn't notice
that. The only time I really noticed it is when the boyfriend falls in the beginning.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, that one, it's horrible. Pretty bad.
But yeah, I didn't notice anything on the tower.
Other than that, and the tower, I mean, they obviously weren't 2,000 feet up, but they did erect a 100-foot tower.
Yeah, but
for them to
some
be
of
on.
Those like
was it really 100 foot?
Yeah, and on top of a mountain, on top of a mountain.
Oh
right.
My
but
God!
But they did do some shots from above that had to be green screened. But I didn't notice any weirdness. But I don't know. Maybe I just didn't see it.
I remember. What's her name? The blonde. Hunter. When she says, "Yeah, it's." Over 2,000 feet tall. That's taller than the fucking Sears Tower, man. The Sears Tower is 450. And I'm just like, what the fuck? It's like, that takes a while. I mean, that's high. That's super high.
There's a tower in Bettendorf, or there used to be. I don't know if it's still there out in Pleasant Valley. That is about that high too.
Is it really?
A radio tower. Yeah, I don't know if it's still there or not, but
It's the clattering of the iron and the metal to raise the unbelievable palm sweating moments when they're climbing it and you just see it rattle. Just crazy. And I don't have a fear of heights, but for some reason it's shot so well. I remember the audience reaction when Hunter started shaking the ladder when they're almost at the top. And I remember the audience just screaming, just going, "You stupid bitch!" Like, just when she, you know, shook it. It was a really great reaction with the audience. It was a fun time with that. It's a great film. I love it. There's nothing really bad I can say about this film. Really, it's just well done. It's just well done. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Mark,
yeah,
just to get back to this, the filmmaker, I'm reading off IMDb, the filmmakers had considered green screen or digital sets, but ultimately opted for the real thing. They decided to build the upper portion of the tower on top of a mountain so the actors would really appear to be thousands of feet in the air, even though in real life they were never more than 100 feet off the ground.
Damn.
But still, 100 feet, that's
100 feet's
10 that's... stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't like that.
Also, there's one thing also that I didn't really enjoy, but it's so minute, but well, not really minute. It was predictable what was going to happen. You just saw, you know, that she was, you know, sleeping with her husband, and it was, you kind of knew all the way through. So you knew in the back of your head from almost the beginning of the film that, you know, her friend Hunter cheated on.
It's basically the same backstory as another movie we're going to talk about.
Exactly. Like what's up with women? Like women are horrible.
Yeah. What's up with women? Or, man, what did you think of this film?
Or women characters written and directed by men.
Yeah.
That's because they've been heartbroken.
Let's see. Boy, we do need a female on this show.
We do.
I really noticed when we watched when I watched Descent the other day that that backstory is very, very similar. All right, basically the same. I did find like this main character Hunter or the Hunter, she did remind me a bit of the main character in Descent as well. Down to the affair with her best friend's husband and also pressuring her best friend to resolve her trauma by doing something really shitty. I mean, it's really the same story. I mean, she's trying to get her to resolve her. You don't take your best friend to go resolve their trauma on a rickety old abandoned radio tower that they're not supposed to be climbing. You take it a little step at a time, I would think, you know, and maybe let's go rock climbing and do a small, you know, whatever.
Boulder. I thought,
kind of a shitty friend of her. And I'm like, when that rung broke, you know, there's a rung on the ladder that broke when they were maybe 100 feet up. Like, I would have been like, okay, I'm not going any further now. Like, a rung just broke. I'm not going any further. That's the only drawback I really feel about this. Its strengths are so great that it didn't matter that much. But the only drawback I see is that I just feel like the girls are a little dumb when they shouldn't be. They're supposed to be expert climbers, and I don't think they would be this dumb. But I mean, I guess they were. But and sometimes I had trouble believing that they really were 2,000 feet up. Like their conversations were just a little too casual at the top of that tower, and not enough wind. Maybe I don't know. But it is. It's the most stressful dumb movie. I think I said this in the first time I reviewed this. It's the most stressful dumb movie I've ever seen in my life. Like ultimately the heights. And I do have a fear of heights. I mean, I don't see how anybody climbs those radio towers like that. I mean, Mark, could you do that? I mean, you say you don't have a fear of heights. Could you climb one of those things?
Like that? I would climb that tower instead of swimming in the ocean.
Really?
I'm scared of two things. One, swimming in the ocean, and two, walking down a sidewalk and tripping and smashing my face into a fire hydrant. That's it.
Because well, that happens all the time.
There's fire hydrants everywhere, and that's there's cracks specific. And holes.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Look, it's been deep in my head for some reason.
Does it
reason.
Matter what color the fire hydrant is? Like, do you have a preference?
Yellow or red?
Yellow for some reason. Yeah. I don't know.
You'll see more blood.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. People are afraid of fucking pickles. I've seen the Maury show. Pickles and tinfoil and all that.
Cats are like afraid of cucumbers, but I didn't know people were afraid of pickles. Right.
No, people are. Watch Maury.
I did have a problem when they.
How do you follow that up, Matt?
when they I don't know. Fucking Mark hijacks every goddamn review with some. Yeah.
I do not. Shit. I do not. I don't.
It's really Maury Povich's
as
fault.
You're doing. I did have a problem with the when they were flying the what's it called?
Drone.
The drone over. They didn't see that truck. Like, are they only looking at the screen? Like, they couldn't look up and see, oh, there's a truck here. Hold back. But the ending. Yeah, I get the ending. I think they just didn't have enough money to really show much. But I did find the ending a little bit of a letdown after all this. And all of a sudden, she's just off the tower. Like, it would have been for the amount of tension build up. I would have liked to have seen a bit more of a payoff at the ending, but it is what it is. It is one of those movies that I highly recommend to people to watch just for the experience of how well they conveyed the vertigo and the heights, the fear of heights, and how just incredibly stressful and palm sweat inducing it is. For that, it's masterfully done.
I will say, this movie is an hour and 47 minutes long. If you want to cut this down to an hour and a half, get rid of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. And actually, you could get rid of that entire opening sequence because I don't think any of that is necessary.
No.
You could have had Becky just tell us that she lost somebody in a climb and just tell us that they died. And that's her reason for being scared about going on this, you know, ascent,
right?
Or maybe she's perfectly fine with it, but she gets to that first rung that pulls off and then she wants to double back, which would be totally understanding.
Yeah.
And
or take out the trauma part. Like, for somebody who's just gone through trauma and they're afraid to climb, that rung would have been like the thing that made them go away, or like have her say, no, yeah, I'm not doing this. And then also, it would just, I think, what was the other thing I was thinking? I think it would be, it also having the affair, it kind of diminishes the stakes a little bit, because once the girl does die, and the other thing I didn't care for too much, especially this time, it kind of bugged me more than the first time, was the whole, what was that movie up in outer space that they do the same thing where George Clooney comes back. No.
Gravity.
So yeah, it was basically the same thing. The girl is alive, but you know, really not. It's just like in Gravity, but yeah, it would have really upped the ante of feeling like her emotionally feeling like, oh, I just lost my best friend too, you know.
So I
think that kind of robbed us of that, and it made it almost like, well, okay, well, she got what she deserved, I guess. She had an affair with her husband, and really the husband
deserved
to
plummet 2,000 feet.
So but
I will say I would have cut out that 17 minutes worth of backstory and nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I would have put 17 minutes more back in about her getting rescued.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because yeah.
That's the part that I cannot wrap my head around.
Right.
Yeah. You're not at the peak of the tower. You're on that satellite dish. That's you know, maybe 100 feet lower.
How did they get her
still,
on?
Yeah. How do they, I mean, is it a helicopter?
Because the helicopter,
how did they get the helicopter, well, close helicopter enough,
would have been able to more easily do it if she was at the top. But if she's in the middle of a tower, right, that's hard to get.
You can't.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure they would have figured out a way, but.
I agree with you guys, but then if they did the helicopter and all that, then it would have just been like an action movie at the end, and it just would have took away from, you know, like all the heart, you know, beating, you know, the senses in what we all like went through, and then it would just turn into an action movie. It's like, oh, you know, we got to, you know, she's got to jump or something like that. It turned into an action movie.
I just think that was an excuse to give Jeffrey Dean Morgan some more airtime so that he could
maybe
feel better about cashing.
He probably only filmed like 2 days or something like that.
He was, he had like 2 hours on set. And that was about it.
Yeah. And, but, I agree with maybe not showing the boy, the husband, dying at the beginning, but I did enjoy her, you know, take all that out and then start the movie of her, you know, contemplating, committing suicide. She's drinking and then kind of like start from there. And you definitely didn't need, her best friend, cheating, you know, with her husband. Just keep that out. Just, you didn't need that. It took everything out of her dying, of Hunter dying. I, you know, why can't they just be friends? Right. Best friends.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, we're going to get off this tower and we're going to get locked indoors. We're going to move down to A24's 2015's Green Room, which is a story about a punk rock band who's forced to fight for survival after witnessing a murder at a neo-Nazi skinhead bar with an all-star cast, I may say.
Yeah.
Anton Yelchin, Imogen Poots, Patrick Stewart is in this film. And my, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Alia Shawkat?
Shawkat. It's Alia Shawkat. Yeah. She's fantastic.
But my favorite little hidden gem in this film is Mark Webber, who played Daniel.
He's a director, isn't he?
I don't know if he directs anything, but this is the first time I had seen this movie. I'd seen like 15 minutes and I had to turn it off. We were leaving. So this is my first time revisiting it. But Mark Webber, who played Daniel, is also the same actor who played Stephen Stills in Scott Pilgrim. You know, he's the guitar player for the band.
Yeah.
Which I'm like halfway into this film and it was just driving me nuts. I'm like, who is that guy? Who is that guy? He looks so familiar. But I just, with the haircut, just threw me off. So anyway, Mark, what did you think of The Green Room?
I liked it.
Okay. Matt, what did you think?
Saving time.
Yeah, I love this movie. And the other guy I like on this is Macon Blair, who played kind of the manager he's really good. The guy who kind of lived and walked away, kind of sort of helped them, I guess. And I really liked their band manager, though, at the beginning. I thought he was really good. Like, he's obviously not, you know, he doesn't have big artists, but he looks like he kind of knows his shit, you know. And one of the reasons why they had so much trouble is that they didn't have a social media presence, and I didn't catch that the first time I watched this movie. But when he interviews them at the beginning, he said, you guys don't have a social media presence, and you know,
that's not punk.
And that's not, and they were like, yeah, well, you know, we want it to be natural or organic or something like that. But that was the reason, you know, they weren't able to live stream or send out where they were, and nobody knew where they were. They weren't able to promote online because of it. And so that's part of the reason why they were in such trouble. If they'd been able to promote it, then, you know, I don't know what these guys would have done, but it would have been more difficult for them. So, but this is, I love this movie. I think it's a really tense film. I like the business. It's very believable. Like everything that happens in this seems very believable. I can't think of anything that really seemed like it wasn't believable. And the way Patrick Stewart came out and handled everything seemed very businesslike. Like this kind of shit has happened before and he knows how to handle it. So, yeah. And Alia Shawkat, I really like her. I think she's underutilized. She was in that movie, the HBO series. I can't think of it now, but she's terrific. No, well, she was in Arrested Development, but there's an HBO show that I really, really liked that came out in the last couple of years that I watched, and I can't think of the name of it now. But anyway, go ahead, Mark, and I can look for it.
Yeah, it's an intelligent thriller because the band members make dumb decisions and they're clumsy. They feel like real people or real characters put in horrific settings. And what happens when you do that? They make poor decisions, like real people in real life. If they're put in that kind of a horrific decision, just because we watch horror movies going, oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. It seemed the characters seemed so real that, yeah, this is what would happen if they were stuck in this situation. And just like that dumb kid running through the church in Red State that you guys said, oh, I would have never done that. This is a perfect example of the Green Room. All these characters made dumb decisions, just like that kid in Red State that I was arguing so hard about. It felt real. And that's what the Green Room is. It felt real. The kills in this film is so much fun because the kills are real, especially when she stabs that skinhead in the stomach and goes up. What a great shot that was! That was perfect. Patrick Stewart, on the other hand, I did love him in it. I did love his character. I did think he was a little bit underused. He's such a great actor. I just wish he wasn't so confined. I want to see Patrick Stewart, you know, break out a little bit. And it's just, I think it's almost too late. It's just so old now. But this film is so fun to watch. I loved it the first time. I loved it the second time I watched it.
I have a question. I don't know that I would have disagreed with a whole lot of what the band did in that situation.
Really? Yeah,
I don't think there was much they could have done.
You
really
would put your arm out into that hallway with the gun and then hang on to the gun while the machete's just slicing them away?
That one was probably dumb. But like them trying to make a break for it, I mean, I could understand. They don't really have a whole lot of another choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in a room with no windows.
I mean, once they got
door.
Once they were in the room, they didn't have many options, and I didn't have any problem with what got them in trouble. Like it was all just a mistake. Like
not with that, but like going out with the shotgun but I thought that was the dumbest decision because one, they don't know how many people are out there and whatnot, and then I guess what the reality was is that the consequences was they got their asses kicked and they had to run back in.
I could see being a little bit more tactical about it, but I still think all in all, it's the right move. You have to leave that room.
Yeah. You can't stay there forever.
If you don't, they're going to just knock the door down with all their shotguns. So do it on your terms when you're ready. Now, like I said, there are ways they could have left that room that may have been a little bit more strategic. But they don't know the layout. They don't know how many people they're up against. But I still think that was their only move. And I also want to counter, too. I don't know if you're talking about Patrick Stewart needs to have more screen time in general or just in this movie. Because in this movie, I think any more of that, I think it was the perfect amount of his screen time.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be about him. Right. I want him to be an iconic actor. Mm. Playing a small role who, when he is on screen, just knocks it out of the park. And that's what I think he did.
Yeah.
But I think anything more than that, then it becomes more about him, less about the punk.
Yeah, I didn't need more of him. I mean, it had to be about the band.
No. I mean, I'll agree with that. What I'm saying about Patrick Stewart is I think that I'm just so tired of him being so enclosed in with his acting. I'd just like to see him do a little bit more, just more outward and not so self-contained as he always is, I guess.
Yeah, because he should do more romantic comedies.
That would be fantastic.
He was great in that Ricky Gervais's show Extras. He was hilarious in that.
I loved him in Logan. Okay, we're gonna descend onto our last film, and our last film is The Descent from 2005. Mm-hmm. And where's my little synopsis here? A caving expedition goes horribly wrong. Boy, that's an understatement. As the explorers become trapped and ultimately pursued by a strange breed of predators. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and start?
I'll be short. For a creature feature, it's not too bad. It holds up okay, besides some wonky special effects. But hey, it's 2005. The jump scares works, perhaps, if you're watching this for the first time. But I don't find this film too scary. I mean, it takes 60 minutes until we see a crawler. And when that happens, Juno and Sarah somehow miraculously turn into Sarah Connors. It's not my favorite. I know this is considered a classic with some younger viewers. And understandably, you know, it's not a bad film. But yeah, it's this one just doesn't hit me. Just doesn't hit me.
Okay. Matt, did it hit you?
Oh yeah. No, I think this is an absolute classic. This is fantastic. It's so tense. The whole setup, you know, I liked the setup. I liked I suppose they could have done without the trauma of the thing, but there were more, you know, characters in this one. So I think it, you know, it didn't need to be that. It was okay that one of the characters could be kind of shifty. And I liked that girl. Can't remember her name now, but the one that
played Juno.
Yeah. Juno.
Juno. Yeah. Yeah.
Natalie Mendoza.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
She's really good. I liked everybody in this. And, mm-hmm. I thought that I did think that that one girl was a little too there was the one with the short hair who was, I think, a little too
Sam.
Yeah, she was a little too
on the nose.
She reminded me of that spiked hair blonde chick from Aliens versus Predator. It's like the same fucking character.
Yeah, I also thought she kind of reminded me of No, I can't think of it. But anyway, it's claustrophobic. And I thought when the creatures show up, there's some really good jump scares. There's some really good gore and blood in this. This thing is just drenched in blood after a certain point. And I think these one location movies work better when there's more than a few characters, like in Green Room and this, and when there's technically more than one location, because even though they're all in a cave, they are moving around and stuff. So but yeah, this is just a good one. I love this movie, and I'm glad we got to finally talk about it. It never really popped into my mind for one of my picks, but this is a 5.5-star for me movie for me, and I think it's absolutely a classic.
Four and a half.
Yeah. Sorry, why don't I keep saying 5.5? But yeah, no, I think this is absolutely one of my favorites of the last couple of decades. So,
oh wow, really?
Yeah. I completely agree with Matt. I've never seen this before.
Oh, this is your first time?
First time?
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I I agree. It is a one location, but you know, it's the insides of those caves are so huge, you don't really get that feel.
Right.
And it, I do really appreciate how well they did the claustrophobic feeling with some of those really small, tight areas of the caves that they're trying to navigate through. And that's the type of stuff that had me freaking out. But once they found these creatures, it becomes a completely different movie. And yeah, talk about tons and tons of blood. However, I did realize that there is a UK version that apparently has a completely different ending that I was reading about. And I kind of want to see the UK ending. So here's spoilers in case you're going to want to watch this. But at the end, Sarah and Juno are the only two left. And Juno dies. Sarah gets out. And as Sarah's driving away in this car that she manages to start, she gets a glimpse of Juno, like, sitting in the seat next to her before the screen goes black. Well, in the UK version, all that's the same, except when the screen's done going black, it flashes back to Sarah in the cave, just waking up. All of her escape was in her head. It was a vision. And
yeah,
and then it ends with her still in the cave and dying. Like, she has some more, like, good memories, like images of her daughter and the birthday cake and all that other stuff. But then basically at the end of it, everybody dies, which
they must have used the American
bleak.
They must have used the American ending for the sequel.
So I watched The Descent in the movie theaters back in 2005, and it just ended with Juno in the car, in the Jeep, and with the blood in her eyes. So the international version is, she just shows up and she does. There's a birthday candle or birthday cake with her daughter, and she's still in the cave. I prefer that ending more than the American version. It makes more sense. And then with The Descent 2, Juno is still alive. She's still there. She's still in the cave.
I haven't seen
part two, but I've heard it's terrible.
It's dog shit. It's dog shit.
Yeah.
And it's the same actress, which is a shame because she's not a bad actress. The Descent 2 is dog shit.
Okay.
Good, Joe. This is some good picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are free of the trap.
All right.
That's all I've got for the night. Yep.
Excellent.
Free and clear.
So the next episode is Mark's pick. So, and I know Mark has kicked around some ideas. Some of them were puzzling to Joe and I, and in a very funny way. So I'm kind of curious if he was going to pick one of those, or if he chose a different route. But I have a feeling
it's go time.
It's go time. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah.
Put up or shut up.
All right.
Or shut up.
I'm a person. I'm a podcaster of the CineScare. This is my podcast too, so fuck it. I'm doing the draft. So I'm doing it. I don't care. I've been thinking about this for over
a year.
It's going to
take 6 hours for you to explain how this works.
If you don't interrupt, it won't take fucking 6 years. So just shut up, mute yourselves, and I'm going to explain it, okay?
Wow, he should take that advice himself, Joe.
Sometimes. Right. So mute, Matt, mute, Joe, mute. 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 Mute, Joe. Thank you. All right, so what I am doing is the draft. So basically, it's a Stephen King draft. All of you guys and ladies can watch all of your Stephen King films, okay? Matt, you watch. Just start watching Stephen King films. Joe, you watch Stephen King films.
What ladies?
So what? The listeners.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to be on mute.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, sorry.
This is going to take 6 years. Okay, so basically what we're going to do, I'm going to have friend of the show, Brian, show up at the beginning of the episode when we start talking about the draft, okay? Mm-hmm. He's going to have numbers, 1, 2, and 3. Matt, since you always introduce yourself first, you get the first pick. Now, there's three numbers that you have to pick. If you don't pick the number, then it goes to Joe because he's the second person. So then Joe gets to take the pick. Now, say Joe picks the number. Shut up. When Joe picks the number and he picks it, if he picks it, say it's Joe picks two and that's the number Brian has. Then Joe gets to pick. Is it the first pick, second pick, or third pick? Now, the first pick, you can pick whatever, you know, movie. And then if he picks the third pick, he can pick the third and fourth movie or first and second movie, okay? And then we just go in a circle. So, like, I'm confusing myself. Is it, wait.
Three of us.
I have no idea what we're doing.
This is the most beautiful, incredibly lost thing I've ever heard of. Because it absolutely makes no sense at all.
This whole thing is just a running bumper.
Just shut up.
It is.
Shut up. So, okay. So basically, so if Joe picks pick number three, he gets to pick the third pick and then the next pick. If he picks number two.
This is fucking amazing. This is absolutely amazing.
Wait, I'm not sure
what I'm picking
right.
For.
You thought about this a whole year, Mark?
Yes. I'm just not doing it right because you guys are making me fucking nervous. Okay. So if Matt's the first pick, okay?
Yep.
So if he picks the first pick, all right, or the number,
wait. Yeah. Okay. Just walk me through it. So, okay, I introduce myself. We introduce ourselves, yes. And then we talk about movies that we've seen.
Yes.
Then we get into your pick, and you yes. will say, "Okay, Matt, you go first." And I pick.
Right. Five. Brian says you go first.
Okay. And I say,
No. There's no five. There's only number one, two, and three. There's only three numbers.
All right, let's say I say three.
Okay. And Brian says yes. That's the number. You have a choice to pick. Either the first pick, the second pick, or third pick, okay, of Stephen King movies, okay? So if you decide to take the first pick and you decide to do The Shining, okay, that's your pick. None of us, Joe and I, cannot pick The Shining. And then you explain The Shining why you think this is your first number one pick, okay? Then Joe and I have to discredit your pick because what we're going to do is we're going to pick, you're going to pick 10 picks, Joe's going to pick 10 picks, and I'm going to pick 10 picks of Stephen King films. But if you pick The Shining, Joe and I can't do it, okay? So, Joe, take it easy. It's okay. So now what I'm getting to is like, yeah, it's great to have the number one pick because I'm sure everyone's going to do The Shining. Maybe not me. But if Joe, if you pick the number, if Matt and I do not pick the number, and if Joe, you pick the number and you decide to pick number three, you get to have the number three pick and then it reverses and you get this another pick. Okay.
There's a reverse of this.
So I get to flip and then like pick four?
Yes. Yes.
Holy shit.
So you have pick number three and then you have the next pick. And that's not a bad idea to do. Okay. It's also not a bad idea to do a number two because you have the number two pick. Then like say Joe has the number three pick and then the next pick. And then it goes back to the number two pick, which is me. And then I get whoever picks the number one pick has to wait. And all those good Stephen King films is already going to be gone, even though he has like The Shining or Carrie. You get it?
Can we?
No.
Can the title of this?
Not
be,
at all.
Can we make the title
Train
of this
wreck?
Shit show?
So wait a minute. At the end of it. Matt's going to have 10 movies. You're going to have 10 movies. Yes. I'm going to have 10 movies.
Yes. So,
but they're all going to be different.
Yes, they're all going to be different. And here's the fun part. We're going to post this on.
Oh, there's a fun part?
Yeah. So then what we're going to do is we're going to put our picks on the CineScare fan page, and we're going to have We're going to have the listeners pick whose boat, whose pick is better. And whoever wins is the winner.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Doesn't that sound great?
Okay, so we're all... Are there 30 movies?
Yes.
To choose from?
I believe there's 43. But...
Okay, there, so...
You cannot... It has to be horror. You cannot do Shawshank Redemption. You cannot do Stand By Me.
Shouldn't you then provide us a list of movies to choose from?
You have the fucking internet. It's fine. No.
I know, but when I do fantasy football, ESPN provides me a list of potential players for me to draft.
Right.
No. You already have the players to draft, but if somebody picks it, you can't pick them, right?
Maybe we could get one of the audience members to explain this pitch for us.
So basically, I
will write it down. I will write it down on the Cinesphere page, Matt, to explain all this.
So we don't really have to watch any movies this next couple weeks, right?
No, not at all.
No. Well. I'm sure you haven't seen.
You got to research.
You got to do research. This is all research. And then it would be fun if some Cinesphere fans would. Do their pick. Well, they can't really do their pick because that's not fair. So, no, they can't do any picks.
So, we're going to look at Matt's going to be all done. He might have gotten a pick first, so he's naturally going to pick The Shining as his number one. Mm-hmm. That would be like his quarterback.
Right. Exactly. But and you and I have, when he picks The Shining.
We wouldn't be able to get to pick that.
No, absolutely not.
The board.
It's off the board.
So then I'd have to pick, like,
don't ruin list. It. But also,
I'm just giving one for an example,
right? So also, when Matt says, "Well, why did I, have this for my pick?" You and I have to discredit it to help the Cinescare fans listen to us. It's going well. Maybe that's not the best pick. Maybe that's not the number one pick.
I think we should take this whole discreditation thing off the table.
Why?
Yeah, because I'm not gonna if Joe gets The Shining, I'm not gonna say shit about bashing.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
bash
The Shining. I'm not gonna bash Shawshank.
But that's the fun part. Like, have you ever bashed The Shining? Can you find parts of the movie that maybe is not the reason? The Shining isn't really that good of a film.
I could do that for Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, I could do that for Dr. Sleep. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah,
but not the. I could say Jack Nicholson's just too good of an actor to. Know, that kind of
Shelley Duvall, she's a real looker.
I mean, or Stanley Kubrick, he could be less perfect.
Or maybe The Shining is a little slow and really kind of sometimes boring.
I'm not going to say something I don't think.
Yeah,
that's the fun part. You got to find something.
It's the fun part. You get to lie,
every
Joe.
Frame.
All right. Discredits out. But anyways, it's going to be a great episode.
I have a feeling it's going to be hilarious. I can guarantee you that much.
I have a feeling it's going to be an absolute shit show.
I'm glad you picked this one because I have a feeling it was going to be a shit show.
It's called the Stephen King draft.
Stephen King shit show.
Wait a minute.
It's going to be.
Why didn't you pick King of the Hill? I mean, it's right there in his name.
Right there.
That would have been a much better name for this.
King of the Hill. Call it
King of the Hill. Stephen King.
Oh.
The King of the Hill is the top.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, good God.
All right.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. And so please. If you didn't understand that, maybe watch the episode again or rewind this last part.
If you did understand that, please write us in and explain it to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Please, please message us. Brian, if you could message us about this, that would be great. But I guess we will see how that goes in a couple weeks, and we will see you. Actually, you know what? This is perfect because it gives you, Mark, the opportunity to catch up on watching 2023 movies. Now you have even more time to get caught up.
Oh, so, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So I guess we'll see you next time. What?
But there's other Stephen King films, I'm sure, like, you haven't seen. Maybe that's really
horror?
Good.
I don't, maybe. I don't know. I have to look.
Have you seen Night Flyers?
Although it's not really going to matter if it's on the list that you're going to provide us.
Sleepwalkers, I haven't seen.
And
you
there's
got,
like,
you got 10 films. You got 10. You have 10 films. There's 30 films. There's 30 films.
Sweet Jesus. All right.
There's 20 films you can't pick.
All right.
So, well, maybe you should do give some us research. A list of all the films that we can pick.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's called the internet.
Well, Mark,
I know,
is getting
what
that list
I would
together.
Consider to be one to pick, you might not. So since this is your pick, you do the work. You provide us with a full list of ones that we could, which should be more than 30.
Hey, I'm going to give you guys a pick, and you got to do all the work to find out what it is.
Mark, you got the internet. Just come up with the list of the 45 or 47 or however many movies are that we can choose.
I'll do it for you guys. I'll do it for you guys. I'll have it ready for you tomorrow.
It doesn't sound anything like a pick you've been thinking about for a year.
No, I have. I just, you guys got me nervous, and I didn't explain it well, but I figured it out.
All
right.
Right? Well, we will
bring the Uno cards.
We'll be looking forward to that. So I guess we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. So mute, Matt, mute, Joe, mute. It's a trap!